2022 was a tough year for the Colorado River. Climate change and a 23-year drought is shrinking the water supply that more than 1 in 10 Americans depend on. As Alex Hager of member station KUNC reports, policymakers are caught in a standoff over how to share it.
The Colorado River starts here, deep in the mountains of the state that shares its name. Nearly 60% of the river is born as snow in the Colorado Rockies. Stephen Jowen with the Natural Resources Conservation Service trekked out into the woods to measure it.
When I first started 15 years ago, you know, we'd actually measure some snow in the April-May survey, and a lot of times now we just walk in and there's no snow.
Long-term climate patterns show a trend of warming and drying. That means less snow where it matters most, and when it does fall, it's melting quicker and getting soaked up by dry soil before it can reach the river. All of that is creating urgent problems. This year, water levels in America's two biggest reservoirs, both on the Colorado, Lake Mead and Lake Powell, hit all-time lows. That threatens their ability to generate hydropower, which millions of Americans depend on. Dropping levels could force operators to shut off hydropower turbines as early as next summer. Deep inside the concrete dam at Lake Powell, the turbines continue humming, for now, but manager Bob Martin is worried.
Anybody in hydropower, you know, their whole career is based on reliability of these units. So to come into a power plant being quiet would be very, very disturbing for me.
Water leaders have assembled a patchwork of band-aids to stave off catastrophe, but they haven't reached a deal that would significantly reduce water demand. This summer, the federal agency that manages Western Water threatened to force cutbacks. Camille Kalin-Limtutin leads that agency. In June, she called on states to conserve an unprecedented amount.
Between 2 and 4 million acre feet of additional conservation is needed just to protect critical levels in 2023.
That's about as much as the entire state of Colorado draws from the river most years. The request sent a seismic shock through the 7 states that share water from the river, but it didn't pull them together to make a deal. The deadline passed, but there were no forced cutbacks. And the states are still caught in a standoff, pointing fingers at each other, reluctant to make hard sacrifices of their own. Becky Mitchell is Colorado's top river negotiator.
We all have to be able to sell this, and it is really hard to sell something when there are winners and losers.
Experts say dropping water levels and the struggle to cut back mean big changes needed across huge swaths of the country. Sarah Dant is a professor of history at Weber State University in Utah.
I think it's also this very stark and obvious indication that we have so long not understood the power of aridity.
Dant says nature is winning out in places where conditions are too dry to sustain life as we know it. Climate change is making dry places even drier. Even John Wesley Powell, the Colorado River explorer for whom Lake Powell is named, warned that the West would never be as green as the East.
But nobody wanted to pay attention to him because, you know, let's gung-ho, boom, boom, here we go, let's settle. And we've been putting off this reckoning with aridity for a long time now.
States are scrambling to find some compromise and cut back on demand before 2026 when the current guidelines for the river expire. But climate change is only making that job harder, shrinking supplies with no end in sight. For NPR News, I'm Alex Hager.